Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. I'm still here in Kazakhstan. It's a really great day today. And I'm here with a Reiki student that I met a couple of weeks ago. Her name is Aziza, and I'm sorry to say I don't think I can pronounce her last name. But Aziza's here because she's started a new business here that is controversial sometimes, even in the United States or in Europe. And now she's introducing it to a world where organic and biologic and those kinds of words are very, very new here. So I'm really excited that Aziza has consented to tell us her story. So Aziza, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So of course, I would love for you to tell your Reiki story. Can you do that for me?
How I started the Reiki?
Yeah, like how you heard about it in the beginning and what it was like to be initiated in the first degree and, you know, your story.
Yeah. It was you know, like remarkable. First, I was scared.
You were scared?
Yes, because I had some problems. And Shireen, my friend, you know her. She's Reiki. Now she's second grade. And she used to come and, you know, offer me, can I do you Reiki for you? Like, you have a problem. It will help you. I was so scared because I was thinking that I'm Muslim, so it's against, so, you know, like, these kind of thoughts. Then I was ill, and she came like, Aziza, I can help you, so just lay down, and if you will trust me, you will say, if you don't like it, she said, I will stop. So then she started to treat me, you know, to heal me, and it helped me. And I had visions when she was, you know, healing, treating me and giving me Reiki. And then I was asking her many times, you know, can you come? Can you do Reiki for me? Can you give me some Reiki? And she was like, no, you can initiate yourself. So you can go and get your Reiki for yourself. Then I met Madina, my Reiki master, Madina Abdurazakova, and we talked, and she said that, okay, we can. Then I initiated. And then my initiation was, I remembered, like, when I closed my eyes, I always remember. And I had tears on my eyes, and it was, I had so many visions. I had, this was so bright. And I had, I saw temples, Japanese temples, when I was in China. Uh-huh. I saw so many bright colors. And I saw the earth, like a wheel of, and it was, I had, you know, like shivers, you know, uh-huh. Shivering. And then I started my practicing, my first grade of Reiki, and it took 4 years, and my life was changing, and I had my second baby, and my private life was changing. I was changing, and I wanted more in my life. Then my mother-in-law died. Was dying, and I wanted to help, but then I decided to have a second. I wanted to go. Madina was saying that I'm ready for the second grade. So I was scared then. I was like, I wasn't sure. So then after this situation in my family, I thought I should try to work on myself, and I went for second grade of Reiki. And after my second grade of getting, and my life was changing. You know, I worked with my past. I saw so many things that I forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
And my childhood, you know, like, I don't know, abide, hurts.
Offense.
Yeah, my childhood offense. I didn't remember them, but they were bothering me. I didn't know. And I had my, I'm divorced twice. So I saw my first marriage faults. And, you know, happy moments and bad moments also. I was 10 months in this that marriage. My marriage last 10 months, first marriage. I was in second marriage that time.
Uh-huh.
Then 2 years ago, I changed my life totally.
Because you took second degree?
Yeah, because my work was going, you know, Madina taught me that I have to give myself Reiki twice a day. I was doing that. And then I went through many things. I went to Madina all the time. I went to Reiki circles and we were talking. And then 2 years ago, I divorced again. I was in that marriage for 12 years and it wasn't comfortable for me. I made myself to... I'm thankful to my both husbands because they lead me to this my life to my life now, because they taught me, you know, by hurting me or by, you know, squeezing my freedom, they made me to push harder.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years ago I divorced, and then he declined to, you know, to help me with kids. I have 3 kids, one from first marriage and 2 from second marriage. Then I started working. I had my small school, small courses, language courses in Tashkent. Then me and my partner, we made it, you know, we worked and made it work, grow. So it became school. Then we opened agency for sending students abroad for summer camps and universities and everything. So my life became, you know, I was busy. I started working and I don't know how come. Of course, my family helped me all the time, but I never need. It wasn't that I never had money for. I always had enough amount of money. It was given like, I don't know, like a miracle for me, for mm-hmm. kids and for me. Then I decided to move here. My brother was convincing me for many years. Then in 2 weeks, I decided, okay, I will come here. So I moved here. I changed country. I changed city. I left my friends and I came here. And the society here were very welcoming for me. And I have a lot of friends, mostly foreigners. Expat society, I know them and they become my great friends now. And I was looking for myself for business. Like, I like embroidery. I like the pomegranates and I wanted to do some. I like... creating, I like organizing the events. I still organize here some. I help people organize events. Like my brother, he is a partner. He owns a business here, and they brew a beer here.
So they brew beer.
Brew beer, yeah. And they had a beer fest. So I was helping them twice. Twice we had beer fest, and it was great. And I love it, and it's easy for me to do it.
Uh-huh. So then, let me just stop. Yeah. So let me just stop before you get into that. So on the way back, before I just want to touch on something because it's we're in a part of the world that I don't really know much about, and I'm okay if you say I can't answer this.
Okay.
Okay. But I need to find out, or I need to. I don't need to. I would like for you to share some of the feelings that you had when you said you were scared about imagining people treating you with Reiki because of your Muslim religion.
Yeah.
And can you say more about that? Because I'm not quite sure why that would be.
Because in Uzbek society, they said that something different from the Muslim stuff, they said, it's a, you know, it's a shirk, it's forbidden. So I was...
Reiki is forbidden.
Everything that, not in Muslim, in Islam. You know, when I came to Reiki, Madina told me, and there is a Sufis, it was said in Quran that we had energy in uh-huh. our hands. And it's not against the Quran, it's not against the religion. So I understood it. And, you know, I want to tell you, my mom, she's truly religious person. And she became a Reiki person also. She initiated, and she's second degree now. Yeah.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
My brothers, my two brothers, they also, they do, you know, we fast now. It's Ramadan now. Uh-huh. And we fasted, and they fast every day, and they pray for 5 times. But still they do Reiki, because they know it helps. It's not against, it's the only one way to the God, uh-huh. and it's all come from God, and it's not against the religion.
Uh-huh, so that you don't feel like there's anything
No, there is no guilt, no.
in the Muslim religion that would prevent people from
no, but
being a Reiki student.
No, I have many friends. I have Muslims. My family. I have many cousins. My grandfather has 7 sons and
wow.
64 of us
wow.
in the family. I don't know. It was 64, but 69 probably. Now 5 more was born lately. So we all, and there is our, in our family, it's like, in my small family, there's 4 of us Reiki people. And in the whole family, it's like around 10 people.
Wow.
So we
That's
know.
That's great.
We don't, you know, scream and shout out that we're Reiki. But when we treat, people come and they, relatives, they come, oh, Aziza, can you help? Oh, I have cousins, Zibor or Zoda, who are Reiki. They said, can you treat? Can you do? Can they go to some operations, you know, like surgeries and everything? They call us and it helps them. And they say that we feel they are abroad and I'm here and I can give them distance healing. And they said that they feel it there. And
wow, that's so wonderful.
I see it.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, because I was speaking to a man who was really going through some issues that he felt were coming up between his faith and becoming a Reiki master, which is a bit different than just mm-hmm. being a Reiki student.
Of course, yeah.
Yes?
It's a responsibility.
Yeah.
Huge responsibility. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But my understanding of my faith changed in Reiki.
Yes, tell me about that. If you can.
Yeah, I can share. I used to, you know, I used to fear God. You know, I was like, oh, he will punish me. Because in ordinary way, they always say, oh, do this because God will punish you all the time.
Right.
But in Reiki, I saw God loves me. God always forgives everyone. Everyone. And they say, oh, you have to pray 5 times, or you have to fast, or you have to do something, you know, like wear special clothes or something. But as I understood in Reiki, in my family, in my mom also say, it's inside your heart. Doesn't matter what you wear. If you lie to people, if you betrayed, it doesn't matter if you pray 5 times a day.
Right.
God, of course, he always forgives us. But it's a matter of person, I don't know. And I really changed my view. And I don't have this feeling of guilt like I used to in religion. You know, like I was doing something, I was like, oh, it's forbidden, God will punish me. No, I'm not waiting for the punishment anymore.
Great, good for you.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like you know, more freer. You know?
That's great. Because this fear of punishment doesn't just come from religions and from the Muslim religion. It comes from most religions, religious beliefs, and also just from our parents. You know, it's like, well, if you do the wrong thing, then you'll be punished.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's really, really, yeah, actually, yeah, exactly. Interesting. So again, this is my curiosity, being a Westerner and knowing nothing. So you divorced your 2 husbands, or they divorced you? This is a very touchy,
you know, in
subject. Maybe
during my, you know, the times when I divorced first time, I was the first person in our family who divorced ever.
Ever? Oh my gosh!
And then it was a kind of a struggle because
yeah.
I didn't love that man. And it was a, you know,
you didn't love that,
no,
mm-hmm.
It was settled marriage because I was going to Japan to study because I studied Japanese in my university.
Really?
And then I was only second year student and I was going to study in Tokyo University and all my documents were ready. But you know, this Uzbek traditions that, oh, how a girl will go there and it's like, it's not usual way. So they said, oh, it will be better if she will get married, then she will go together with her husband. Then they came to, my first husband's family came to us because he was going to work in embassy of Uzbekistan in Tokyo.
In Tokyo.
Yeah, in Japan. Yeah, in Tokyo. And it was the condition that he has to be married. So they said, oh, that's the great, you know.
It's a great match.
Yeah. So in 40 days, I got married.
Oh, my God.
And unfortunately, they didn't choose him. They his work was declined, so he didn't went to Japan.
I got
pregnant on my first night.
Oh, no. Wow.
So, and then I said, okay, I'm pregnant, so I will try my best to live with this guy. And we tried for 10 months, but it didn't work out.
Uh-huh.
We were different.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then after giving birth, after my daughter was born, in 30 days I left him. And then we tried to live together. Then it was a matter of his mom and family and stuff. So we decided to divorce. And my mom was, my father and mother, they were supporting me so much. They were on my side. Whole family, you know, like.
Wow, it was that's beautiful.
Nonsense. Then, in 2 years, I met my husband, second husband. I fell in love. It was a love story. Love always ends. I don't know, for me it ended. Marriage was, it was hard for me. It was a difficult one. I had miscarriage and I almost died. And they were saying that I will never have a baby. All doctors said to my parents and everyone, so get ready, so she wouldn't. You know, she wouldn't live, she wouldn't survive. But I survived. My family, thanks God that they had the ability to take me from Tashkent to first in Turkey, then in Belgium, they healed me and I came back.
Wow, great.
And after 7 years, I think, in my marriage, I was thinking about divorce. But second divorce in the family, and it was me again.
Yeah.
It was hard. So I waited for 5 more years, then I couldn't. And my other sister started divorcing and stuff. So I said, okay, I cannot live. So my mother and father, they said, okay, as long as you're happy. It was hard for them to take it. So, uh-huh. But they said, okay.
Wow.
They agreed and I came. And I lived in Tashkent separately from my husband 2 years. Then I came here and I feel free here. And I found, now I'm doing what I want and I love my job. My kids are happy. They're getting better education here. And I love it.
Well, that's great. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And Reiki came at the end of your marriage.
Second.
At the end of the second marriage, right?
Yeah. No, during the second marriage
it
came.
Yeah.
In my hard moments.
Yes.
After I survived. In 2 years, I got, in 4 years, I got first grade, first degree. And then after, again, 4 years, then I got second
degree. Uh-huh. Beautiful.
So it's 8 years now.
That's great. Well, you know, in the United States, it's, I have this thing about personal freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, that's a really high priority in the United States, actually to the point of an extreme where personal freedom is overpowering everything else, which is not so great sometimes. But when I I'm 66, so I have this history. And so when I was 18 mm-hmm. and I went to college for the first time, I went away from home. I was lucky to go to the school that had just changed the rules. But if I had gone the year before, I would have had to have worn a skirt, a hat, and gloves every time I left the college campus. Can you believe it? Isn't that just amazing?
Yeah.
It's like wearing a burqa all the time, right? But when I went there, we had to wear dresses all the time. There were no pants.
Mm.
And if you went, and then, but if you were in the dormitory, you could wear jeans or something, but not to classes, not, and to dinner, we had to wear really nice dresses, like, and heels and stockings.
It's like ladies' school.
Yeah, a ladies' school, yeah. And they were, my parents, I guess, were trying to teach me how to be civilized. And, but, you know, it was typical behavior back then, right? And we didn't even have pantyhose back then. And now, you know, I see girls wearing these shoes that cost $250 with their bare feet. And I go, wow, that's really strange. I know this is, like, probably weird to talk about on the radio show. But it's the customs of freedom and personal choice and so on are just so enormous these days. And when you look at women in the last 50 years, what has happened for women in the last 50 years, not just in the United States, but all over the world, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, it's not perfect for sure, but it's a lot better than it was.
Yeah.
And you're amazing. You're like a pioneer.
You know, for the self-freedom, I went to United States after graduating to my school in Tashkent. My father sent me and my brother, who works here also, to United States. And I studied for a year in Nebraska.
Nebraska?
Yes. Wow. I lived in a family, in a host family. My brother also lived. He lived in Mason City in
of Iowa.
No, it was in Nebraska, but he lived in a farm.
Oh.
And then they had a farm, they had horses, and he was helping to a cow to give a birth. Brother, who lived in Tashkent.
Was really city, huh?
Yeah, city
he's
person.
A city guy, and he's helping have a
cow.
Helping a cow have a calf. Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was. And I lived in a family of a preacher. He was a Baptist preacher. And we went every Sunday to Baptist church. And I went to Sunday school. Because I was like, no, I'm Muslim. I never eat pork. That's my rule. So they always cooked for me something different when they had pork. And then I was like, oh no, I'm Muslim, I cannot go to church. And he said, you have to learn about another religions. And then in Quran said that you have a right to learn. You don't have to be a Christian. So I was taught about this freedom. And my annual book, it was written that, you know, they were saying about the future, and they wrote me just for fun, and it became true. So I will be a pioneer in my Eastern society, and then I will make a revolutionary things that will change not only my life, but life of my, you know, the
community.
So
you'll be a revolutionary too.
So I was revolutionary by divorcing and, you know, changing my lifestyle.
Amazing.
And the freedom for me is the main goal.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
So it's
you've had quite a life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still having.
Yeah, I'm amazed at your father. That was very forward thinking to send you a girl.
He wanted to. He sent me with my brother.
Yeah.
He is only half 2 years younger than me. So, and he said, you have to see the world before you get married. I got scholarship and I got graduated from Ansley High School. And I was dreaming about the universities in the United States, and he didn't let me because, you know, the traditions. So he said, okay, come back and I will send you, you will go to Japan and you will go abroad. But I didn't know that I will study Japanese.
So you never went to Japan?
No, I never. All my friends were going back and forth into Japan.
That is incredible.
But I worked for a Japanese company
for
6 years. It's Mitsui company.
Oh.
I was in the representative office of Mitsui in Tashkent.
Wow.
And I forgot my Japanese songs.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. I studied for 4 years and then forgot.
Oh, wow.
So?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're back to biological products. So
organic.
You moved to Almaty.
Yeah.
And?
after a year of trying many things, I met my partner. He came with my cousin first. They wanted to do organic, stuff here. So they wanted to import organic juices here. I was like, I didn't believe that. Okay, organic, but I saw the prices, and there is organic stuff selling in stores here, but it's so expensive, and it's like luxury ones. I was like, no. Then my partner, who used to be my cousin's partner, then they decided to split up. And then we shared the thoughts, and then become partners. He showed me another way of organic stuff. Like organic, it shouldn't be only exclusive and expensive ones. Organic, and then we have idea with my partner that we will show to our community, to Kazakh people, that organic, it's good for health. It's not okay. It's a trend probably. It's a way of life, but it shouldn't be so expensive. I wanted to show to every level of the society. Right.
That possible?
It is possible. It is little. We're working on it. It's hard for us because still customs. We have to pay other things. But we're putting minimum what we can earn. So it will. Now we imported the cleaning and washing stuff, detergents. And we have we are selling it through Becker stores, the chain of supermarkets. And at Becker store, it's people have a vision, and they believe that it's a it's a good quality stores. But prices are a little bit higher than everywhere. But it's not; it's the same as everywhere. But it's opinion that they think that's So we started to sell them, and we just made it for 5% over, more expensive than the ordinary stuff. And we started to expand. So my partner and we have only four of us working in my company. So I don't want to have many expenses to put on the price. So we work four of us, and we're like soldiers. We do everything. But we have ideas. We want to spread it. Then probably it will give us profit. But now we're just working
Everything is imported?
Imported from leaders of organic stuff. Because we're importing from Germany. Because they have high standards of eco standards, and they always check. And we're sure that the quality is the best. So I'm importing the Sonet stuff, Sonet washing detergents. And I was introduced to Anna Gorky. She's a young designer, and she is designer of women's clothes. But clothes were made truly from organic materials. So cotton for the materials, and the textiles, it was grown in United States in organic farms. And silk is also organic, and they grew it in Nepal and Sri Lanka, I think. And it's also organic, and they're giving jobs there because there is a fair trade agreement. Yeah, and they're making job places for the women there. And the cows also, they were grew it in organic farms. They sell it, say that it's happy cows, whose skin then they use, and they use only vegetables for the coloring. So we brought it here, and I wasn't sure, so I made a pilot collection, and it went well.
People the clothes.
Took, yes, and you can see the quality, and it's breathable, and especially for the summertime.
And that's great. Sell it.
I was happy to know because I wasn't sure how Almaty women will take it. So they like it. We're selling it. And now we're importing yogi tea, so we signed the agreement with them. And Born to Be, it's a cosmetic for the body. We're also importing it. It's coming soon. And Naturata. Naturata is a leader of products, organic products in the world. So we will import them. We signed the contract with them.
So are you planning on actually creating a possibility for products to be made in Kazakhstan?
Yeah. We have a dream with my partner. So when we'll have enough money, you know, it costs a lot. We started step by step because I needed more investments. So I took from my family, I took a loan, I made it. So now we're working, this all stuff, they're working, and you know, I don't have to take loans. So I'm doing step by step because of the financial stuff. I cannot. And when we will earn enough and we will spread enough, we'll be happy, you know, like stable. We want to have a farm, organic farm here or in Uzbekistan, because there is a lot of land here. But to make it organic, you have to treat the soil, because it from the, you know, all the chemicals,
right,
it was here. So it will take from 10 to 30 years to treat the soil, uh-huh, after all this chemical stuff here. So we want to do this, and we will...
Could you not...
To do this. It's our goal.
Uh-huh.
Because here we have a lot of possibility of earth, and, you know, like, there is a lot of space in Kazakhstan and in Uzbekistan. The soil is very, you know... Fertile.
But do they actually use a lot of chemical things here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They use for growing, you know, like, I'm scared to eat the fruits now, because I bought, just for example, two weeks ago, I bought peaches here, and they said that's from Tashkent. I was suspicious, but I bought it, because I love peaches. And they're still in my refrigerator, and they're still like I bought yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there is a chemicals in there, because if I remember, we had a garden. In 4 days, they were like, you know, ruined, and they were like...
Yeah, eat them right away.
Yeah, and these peaches are now staying for 2 weeks in the refrigerator, and they look at it like... Okay, are they real or
right?
They had some injections.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering though my theory was that here in this area in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and the other countries around, that maybe they haven't used it as heavily and also for as long as they have in the Western countries. Is that not true?
No. In Uzbekistan, they used fertilizers a lot, the chemical ones. We used to live, when I was a child, we used to live in the region, and for growing the cotton, they used a lot of chemicals. So then the soil was, now it's
poisoned.
It's dead.
Poisoned, yeah.
Yeah.
It will take, they said that for us, my partner, he invited the certification committees specialist, and she came and just for visit to Uzbekistan, and she just took the, you know, the samples, and she said it will take from 15 to 30 years.
Wow. So that's amazing.
So we want to start it as soon as we'll have a possibility, you know.
No land in, like, Kazakhstan that has not been...
I'm not sure.
No. No, that would be interesting.
And there is a government, so you cannot buy a land. You can just only rent a land for 40 years.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot. Here, for farming, for using, you cannot buy. You only rent for 40 years, and after 40 years, you just prolong it another 40 years. So you will never have it. It's always government, but you just rent it. So in the nearest, we hope, future, we will go to Uzbekistan, because it's really fertile land there. And you know our fruits. You should come. You have been? Have you been in Uzbekistan? In Uzbekistan?
No.
There is the best fruits there and the best vegetables. Weather is
well. They have said when I arrived here almost a month ago that all the fruit was from Uzbekistan.
Yeah,
because...
here they say, oh, it's from Tashkent, from Uzbekistan, because it means that it's the best quality. But
right.
Sometimes they're lying. You know?
Oh no!
Yeah, they do the speeches. You know, I'm looking at them.
Right. Well, that was not my experience with the fruit that we bought, but you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, do you have a world view about all of this? Like, I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes people come to or get to be, what could I say? I feel that the people who really want to educate and make organic products available for people have a kind of a greater worldview than perhaps the common person. Sometimes people are afraid that if they keep using the products that they're using now, that the earth will be more and more damaged and so on. And I'm just, so that's what I mean by worldview. So I'm just wondering if you and your partner have this worldview that you're also connected with and that you've connected to actually in your work.
Yeah. Well, you know, just in, just about, if you say about the sonnet stuff, they came, this detergents and cleaning stuff, they came to, you know, to creating this all after they started to researching how damaged our water resources here in the world. This stuff that has special, they use special formulas for essential oils, which will go to wastewater, you know, the wasted water, and they clean it. So they will have a chemical
reaction
there. So it will clean up the all the surfactants, you know, like ingredients, which is in water, which is really, you know, which poisons the soil and everything. So people use it, and also they're saving the water resources.
I see.
And if... I don't know, we have ideas, so if we will teach people here to if we will show them the importance and, you know, they explain them how it's important for them, it will help to, you know, clean the wasted water, you know, that's a simple way. And then, I don't know, they will stop using all this, you know, this chemical detergents are so poisoned, you know, even if you smell it, if you see it, there is a lot of allergy will stop it. They will use organic stuff. There are a lot of, you know, like will be healthier people around the world who will help the future, you know, if they will use them organic, it will be good for them and for the environment. And our earth will, I don't know, last longer than if we will think about it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and about organic diesel,
oils, and oil, and petrol.
Petrol, they inventing, we know that Mercedes-Benz now, they want to switch to organic petrol. So,
how,
but this kind, you know, this is nanotechnologies. This nanotechnologies, and in using, we also have plans for the solar energy also here, especially here in Uzbekistan. We have 300 days of
sun.
So for us, you know, it's so unforgivable not to use the solar energy.
I agree.
Health, you know, save the planet,
mm-hmm.
save the energy, and save the mm-hmm. money, all people's money. And so it's very, you know, saving and healthier, and it's useful.
It would be, I don't know if there's a way to do this, but it seems like there would be a wonderful research project to take a family and have them use organic products and see if they actually save money by not having so many allergic reactions and not having to go to doctors or to buy different things or to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It would be very interesting. Yeah. I just got that from what you were saying because, like in the United States, what's happening now is that a lot of women, like this didn't happen when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we just washed dishes and we cleaned the toilets and our floors and stuff. And we didn't worry about wearing gloves. But now, a lot of the women that I know who are my age have to wear gloves because they have such terrible allergic reactions to the cleaners. And that's because of this buildup of residue in their body.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't clean enough because I don't have it. But,
oh,
but I've also used biological products for years and years and years. And I don't know. It's be an interesting study for the promotion of what you're doing.
Here also very popular homeopathist person, the doctor here. He's saying that many people started using organic stuff. So they are using now organic, but they buying from other resources, and uh-huh. like Japanese ones and there's American ones. So he asked us to bring our neutral stuff.
Uh-huh.
We have what I imported now. We have which is in stores. They are not neutral, totally neutral. They are for allergic persons also, but they don't have. They have a scent, like slightly scent of essence oils. But,
right.
But neutral ones they have no.
Right. They have no aroma,
yeah.
Anything. Uh-huh.
So he said that let's make a research. So he said that it will save the money for the families. They wouldn't go to doctors. They wouldn't have to buy this expensive medicines.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. We should organize with my partner about this research and to show people the results. I think that the results will come. It will show that they will save the money and that it was good for the health of their babies and themselves.
Makes sense because, I've been, as you know, because you came to this workshop a couple of weeks ago, Reiki for a Better World.
Yeah.
The more I work with Ben and Jessica and the more that I see what's happening, it's like... as Ben says, we should always test our theories. So I see that when I was working with a group of people and we had this common vision about the world and the world of Reiki, actually, and we worked together and every decision that we made felt like it was beneficial to everybody that was involved, then it was just... We were supported by feeling like we were making a good decision for everybody. And that has, in the last few weeks or months, that working relationship has deteriorated. I don't really know why, and it's very, very interesting. But I have found that some of the decisions that have been made, it isn't that they were wrong decisions, but they weren't considered. They were considered only if they were good for perhaps one part of the group and not for the whole group. And that they didn't want to take time to make this decision for everybody to benefit, right?
Yeah.
And this is, it's so interesting because I feel like I now know how this whole this whole way of living started. It's like at one point somebody said, well, I don't have enough time to give so much time to consideration and decisions. So we're just going to do it this way because obviously we know the benefit here, but we don't have the time to see if it benefits over here. And I find that to be really a compromise. And, you know, when mm-hmm. we compromise, it's not really a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm really impressed by your idealism. I hope that I support it. Because it may not feel like it's bearing fruit now, but it will. I just feel it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it's proven. It's actually proven on the world market. You know, you can do some research on this too. They say in, like now, for instance, if in the United States, if you have, like, say you have $50,000 and you want to do something with it because mm-hmm. you want to keep it for your old age or whatever, right? Well, you can't put it in a bank because the bank doesn't give you any interest. And who knows, the bank might actually go out of business. So yeah. Then you lose your $50,000. And you can put it in the stock market, but as many people know, in the last 10 years, you can lose everything in a heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. But the things that have stayed steady are the green investments. They don't make a lot of money, but they are steady, and the bottom never falls out of them either.
Yeah.
Because they're all based on this mutually beneficial decision-making process.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get there because you have to be so disciplined to keep knowing that there's benefit to allowing for time.
Yeah.
And this is something in this day and age that is so difficult for us all, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, saving no. time.
No.
You know, like you buy something to save yourself time.
Yeah. Everyone
and then, you know, you know, like my partner, she gets on the computer and she goes, I thought this was going to save me time, but instead it's costing me time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's so
everyone
funny,
wants immediately, you know.
Like, yeah, immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah,
and it's tough to convince people. Here, I just face it because I went for investment and I was asking, you know, like, why you can import, why organic, why? No, you have, and the person who really believed me, who gave me a loan, like company loan, gave me to my company loan, and he said, okay, it won't work out. I will give you as a present. Then I was like, no. I said, I will give you back in 8 months, my loan. And I know it will work. And he said, that's the answer I wanted to hear. I can see it in your
eyes. All right.
So
good for
work.
You.
Like, oh, gosh.
So did you do it?
Yeah, he gave me and I started all the things. And I signed all my contracts and everything. And my Anna Gorky and my second order for, you know, second shipment for Sonet also, and other four more projects are working because of this loan. And I'm sure I will give him back in 1 year. He said, okay, not 8 months, 1 year. So 1 year I will pay back and I will prove myself for myself. I know I don't prove for myself. I will show him that it will work. People will go for it because they will see the benefits.
Right. So you just started this.
Just started I started in, I opened the company in November.
Uh-huh.
We imported in February, but uh-huh. we started selling in April.
So in it's April.
Just, so 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how is it going, really?
It's going, and today I just got, today afternoon I got a call from a supermarket, which is on Pamphilova Street, which is the biggest supermarket of this chain. And they said, the director said that I wanted to just give you good news because people who bought small stuff from you just to try, they all came back. And today we had a really good sale of your stuff. You have to bring us more because there is a, you know, lack of other, some kind of items.
Wonderful.
And it took time because they're concentrated. So it's a So they came and they bought other products also.
That's great. So they tried it out.
Yeah, they liked it. They liked it. They liked the quality and they came back.
Wow.
We're handling samples everywhere, you know, for free to, you know, to people to start, you know, to check it, to try it.
That's great.
I hope it will work.
Well, you don't hope. You know it will. Right?
Yeah, I know it will. But, it, you know, it will take a time, you know.
It will. And how is this going to coincide with your Reiki story?
You know, 2 weeks ago when I went to Reiki for Berevo, and I had a feeling that it will be something for me. It will change. It helped me a lot. You know, it made me more, you know, concentrate. Like I told Ben that I see myself and I'm stable as a vertical. All problems are horizontal. So my vertical becomes stronger. And I started to see the, you know, benefit of my work for the environment. First I was like thinking about only this society. Now I want to spread to Kazakhstan, to Uzbekistan, to it. And I want more people to learn about, you know, to learn about organic stuff and to take care of themselves, take care of kids and take care of our planet. And the questions we worked on, I implement for every day.
Yes?
And the principles of Reiki, I knew it before, but after our seminars, sessions, I started using every day. Every morning I wake up, I give a Reiki and I just read through, I go through. You know, it phenomenally helps me. I'm working well and I feel better and my kids are feeling better. My partner, my, you know, co-workers are also feeling better. And I see how, you know, like it's spreading around.
That's wonderful.
I used to, you know, like we were used to like some kind of problems. We used to like, you know, to get like squeezed.
We call that contracted.
Yeah, contracted.
Where everything kind of goes smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh no! How are we gonna do? No, it will work out. It wouldn't go. It wouldn't work out. So, but now it's working, and then step by step. And I always remember this three. You know,
the law of three. Yeah, that's an amazing thing. And it changed my life. It's great.
And it changed my life also. And, you know, my partner, he was far from Reiki or from... Now he's listening to me and he's fast. Yesterday I had this gallbladder, you know, sickness something. So I am not fasting anymore because my doctor said no, stop. But he never fasted before. He started fasting. He asks Reiki for all the time for me. Like, can you give me Reiki? Can you ask Madina? Can I go to, you know, initiation? So he's
wow.
And I see the sparkle in the eye, and it's good.
That's wonderful.
My daughter is saving money now. She's 16, and she's saving money to get initiation.
Wow,
because she
that's
sees,
very
Mom,
cool.
I can see it works, so I want it to have so.
That's beautiful. Wonderful.
I'm happy. I'm thankful to everything, you know, around me, and thankful to each person in my life who taught me, to my husbands, to my, you know, I didn't have enemies. I had maybe some people who were kind of against me, kind of betrayed me, but I'm thankful for them, because if they wouldn't betray me, I wouldn't come to my now life, I wouldn't start my business.
Right.
So, and it's Reiki, every day I pray in Reiki, you know, I go to Reiki and I pray and I practice Reiki, I don't know, for a day how many times. I have a problem, I said no, I'm not worrying about it.
That's great.
And I thank
beautiful
God. And I'm, you know, I'm so happy I met you, I met Noor, I met Ben, and I met Jessica, and I met Celia, and I met all our, you know, Almaty Society, Reiki Society, and I'm so happy.
That's great.
I met so many friends there.
That's
and
wonderful.
And we're in touch now. It's so good.
That's great.
And maybe because we, you know, I've met, meeting them there,
mm-hmm.
getting to know each other. And that's also, we're becoming stronger. We're helping
yes.
the planet. And we go, everyone go to their society, to their environment, to their community. And they change. They start changing. It doesn't take many effort for them. For me also. I can see the changes now.
Right.
It's so good.
It is very good.
It's
wonderful.
You know, it's encouraging and it gives a hope that it will work and I know it will work and it will save. It will make people happier.
Great.
Make us happier.
So, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aziza,
thank you.
A wonderful interview.
Thank you.
Very inspiring.
Thank you.
Yes. So all you folks out there, next time you go to the grocery store, make the choice, okay?
Yeah.
Make the choice.
Yeah.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.